This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget, you can bid right now, 877-881-1053, to sit at the KNC Masterpiece table for Jared Sandler's Swinging for a Cause charity event at Globe Life Field on Sunday. That's December 8th. This Sunday, we're all going to be out there. You can be down on the Major League Baseball field where the Rangers won the World Series. You can be down there hanging out, enjoying the day. There's lots of activities going on. You don't have to have a table to buy an individual ticket. You can definitely get an individual ticket and go check the entire thing out, man. It's a great little place to, not a great little place, it's a great big place to go have some fun, and there's all sorts of cool stuff on their site as well, 1053thefan.com/sandlot, where you can check out all the auction items that they have available. But if you want to have this option, you can sit at our table, and then on top of that, two Rangers tickets to a 2025 game and sit in studio with our show. You can bid right now, 877-881-1053, or you can DM Alec on the radio. I got that right? Alec on the radio. You can DM him. The bidding starts at $500, correct? And
$1,500.
Let's go ahead and start there. If you want to hang out with Mike Bassick, the Mike Bassick, you can do that right now by calling in or by DMing Alec.
I'll sign at least one thing for you.
Okay.
If not two.
All right.
And I will do a better job than Riley Green. I don't know if you saw me on Twitter /X, but there's a Riley Green card I was looking at because I do think he's a really good player, like watching him play Detroit Tigers. If Noah would have signed that card, who is not even 3 years old yet.
Cannot write yet.
I'd be like, Noah, you did a horrible job. And that was from a grown man.
So you think that he did a horrible job.
Yeah, so if you want to check out X and just see Riley Green's autograph, it looks like literally a two-year-old got the card and then did something on it.
Before I get to some of these Jerry Jones cuts from Sean and RJ this morning, his visit with them every Tuesday at 8:30 on 105.3 The Fan, I want to ask, how do you Christmas tree? 877-881-1053. Text in and let us know. Do you get a real one? Do you get a fake one? Where do you get your real one? How do you go about that? And when do you do it? Because we got ours last night, and I'm kind of in love with it. This is the first year, by the way,
of
getting it early.
Okay.
And
you've always done real tree?
No. See, growing up, I had a fake one. I was told I was allergic. And then I got older and my mom told my wife, I was like, oh, we can't get one because I'm allergic. My mom says, no, actually, we just told him that because we didn't want to get a real one every year.
I've never gotten a real tree in my life. My parents have never had a real tree. We already put up our fake tree. Love our fake, beautiful fake tree.
Yeah, Derek Holland has a fake tree. He put his up for him.
I've been thinking about going to Home Depot and getting a real tree.
Okay.
But putting it outside on the porch.
Oh, okay.
Just so we can have a real tree because my wife is, I think, she gets
stuffy.
Yes. Around, okay. Like let's say a pine tree or whatever. But I'm like, what if we put it outside?
Yeah. That's
where the tree's supposed to be.
I will tell you this, last night, I'm going to save this for the backside of this. Cause last night I got great information. Thanks to the dude who I got my Christmas tree from. Phenomenal information that helped us out a lot. Mike, do you want a fun story from Jerry Jones or serious sports conversations from Jerry Jones? Which one would you like first?
We're supposed to be serious. I've been so tired of being serious these last 2 days.
All right, so let's go with cut number 11. And this is what I need to know. Were they really wanting to know a serious answer to this question? Because people were upset that Jerry Jones didn't answer the question. Is it true that Overshown can't have number zero because that's Rowdy's number?
Well, just be clear about it. You remember, and he's not going to appreciate me saying this, but Jerry, my son, gets to be Rowdy.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Jerry.
Thanksgiving, man. It's the holidays,
that
man.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Jerry's going to kill me. Jerry is absolutely going to kill me for even bringing that back up. But, you know, I'm reminded of we had a situation when we were at Wichita Falls with our training camp, and Rowdy was taking water guns out in that heat and squirting some of the fans in the wrong spot. And they would jump, but it cooled them off, and they kind of laughed about it and thought it was good. But still, it wasn't a thing to be doing. And I got a hold of him and told him, I said, man, you got to stop that stuff. You'll get us both thrown under the jail out here. It can't be shooting that stuff, because you could knock a water bottle down at 50 feet with that water gun. So it would cool you off real good about it. So he said, I'll do better. It hadn't been a month later. We're back in Dallas, and the rowdy wagon is found outside a strip place about 2 a.m. And of course, Rowdy basically uses that van for all kinds of birthday parties and all of those kinds of things. And it just is not the place to have it. Well, there it was in the paper, a big shot of the Rowdy van sitting in front of the strip club. So I bring him in, and boy comes in, but he doesn't have his Rowdy outfit on. It's the real boy. And I'm saying, now look, I said, this is the twice I've visited with you about an issue of something like this. And I said, do you understand this is getting old, and I want this stuff to stop. You're just right there on the edge, out of bounds every time I look up. And he looked over at me and he said, Mr. Jones, I'll talk to Rowdy about it. Right there, with no outfit on at all, he says, I'll talk to Rowdy about it. I said, son, first of all, I like to have died. Well, how do you not love somebody that can give you that kind of reply? He's absolutely the best Rowdy that I think we've ever had. And I miss him for just because of his dare to be greatness about his activities.
That's amazing. Oh, my God. So this morning on my drive in, I did not care. Listen, Jerry does this all the time. He walks around an answer. You give him a question, and he'll walk all around that thing in order to not answer it. I do not know if he wanted to answer that or did not want to answer it, but he was like, I got a funny story about Rowdy. And for the sake of the story, I laughed my butt off in the car, and I just laughed the entire time while I was telling it just now, because ultimately, that's what I would love the Jerry Jones show on KNC to sound like every day. Just him telling old stories that make us laugh. I'd be more happy with that.
Do you think Jerry Jr. is like really ticked off today? Because I think he is.
So here's the thing.
He's like, Dad.
I don't know the story behind that, Mike. Is there a story that I don't know about Jerry Jr. being Rowdy that I've never known?
I think
it is
a joke on another station.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. Okay. All right. Then maybe he is. Maybe he isn't, though. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's not upset about it at all. But the whole part out about him spraying people from 50 feet away with that water bottle, that just cracked me up. It was a lot of fun. But again, they let Jerry off the hook, ask the question again. Dude, it's a number. Do we really need to know if Overshown can wear zero, or are we happy that he's wearing 13? I think it's okay. But again, Jerry, hey we try. I will get a serious football cut in here real quick. He was asked this morning, is there any way you guys can miss the playoffs but still see the season as a success?
Well, I don't know that I would go as far as saying this season is a success. But what you can do is make successful, and this is cricket. This is fair game. You can make from where we are, or let's go ahead and roll it back a couple of games where we were there, and look and see how you've improved. And there's no question that you can carry over good play from one season to the next. And potentially we even did that. We carried over not so good play against Green Bay that we had in our last game in the playoffs last year. So I think it's naive to think that you don't have carryover. Is that going to be positive? Is that going to be negative? Are you going to see things for each individual player that they can say, look, I can build off that, I can improve? You hear that term all the time, build off of it. Well, that's why that it's the game that it is. You do build off of. You build off of good health. You build off of good execution. You think that Overshown, and just look at him, an exceptional talent, but he's building. He's getting better. Another example is that Tom Landry, the great Tom Landry.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Landry, I didn't hear this, but I've been told about it so many times. Don't ever give up on a defensive lineman, maybe even down linemen, the big guys, until you've seen them for 3 years, because they can really evolve and be a different player after 3 years than they were the earlier 3 years. So all of that bodes well for playing well in these last few ball games.
So again, he didn't say, hey, it'll be a success, but he said, I need to see some things. That's basically what I heard from all that. Now, Lucy loves the holidays more than anything. And when it comes to Christmas tree, she has been on my butt since 2 weeks ago about we need to get a Christmas tree up now. I was nice enough to go up in the attic and get all the stuff down so we could start decorating around the house. She was like, not good enough. We need a tree up in this house. And I was like, well, we're gonna have to wait till after Thanksgiving. That's just my rule. And so we went last night. We have a place in Plano called Savvy's, and it's next to Mesa Maya, Mike. So you know how much I'm like excited about that. I'm like, let's eat some Mesa Maya and get
good
a Christmas
drinks,
tree.
Good tacos.
Yes. Yes. And so we went to Savvy's, and he's got a great location there. It's at a park in Preston. And we walk around, we see the tree that we like, and I'm like, all right, this is the one that we want. So we buy that tree. He was busy, and his chainsaw messed up on him. And I've never done this before, but I was like, hey, go ahead and put the stand on it for me. so I don't have to attach it to the stand and everything. Because when you have a real tree in the house, you have to attach it to a stand that has a water base in it. And I, one year it was cracked and there was water pouring everywhere. Sometimes it's crooked. So I was like, I'm not messing with it. You just do that for me. And as he's starting to do it, his chainsaw messes up and he's busy. And he goes, hey, man, can I bring this to you later? And I was like, you mean like deliver it to me? And he's like, yeah, I'll deliver it to your house. We're just so busy right now. I want to make sure that you guys just aren't standing here. So I'm going to do some deliveries tonight. I was like, yeah, absolutely. So they do deliver. I know for a fact last year he delivered to Jake Ferguson's house. Jake Ferguson, he hops over and takes it to his house. So that's, and he had another cowboy that he was working with. So he shows up at the house.
Shot.
Maybe so. He shows up at the house right about 8:45 last night. And he's got the tree in hand, and he's got three other trees in his truck.
He bring lights and everything?
No, we're going to put the lights on. That would be awesome, though. But he brings that sucker in, and he's like, hey, by the way, put this thing on a towel so you can slide it around easier. It's going to protect your floors. He gave me all this advice, and then we set it up in the same spot we've had it in every year. And he looks up, and he goes, seal that vent off. And there's a vent that's right over the top of the Christmas tree. And I was like, what do you mean seal it off? He was like, don't just close it, seal it. He said, you need to put a piece of paper over it and tape it off because your Christmas tree is going to be done in 2 weeks if you leave that vent open above it. He's like, yeah, when you have vents around the Christmas tree, seal those off and just go with it that way, because otherwise it's going to fall apart. Dude, that was the best advice, because that thing starts just dropping pins all over pine needles all over the place. So it was really awesome that he was able to do that. But yeah, since I married Adrian, I've been forced to have a real Christmas tree. And they love the smell of it. I have terrible allergies, and it kills me every single time. But a lot of people saying that this is their first year to getting a real Christmas tree with a girlfriend. They went to Farrington Field by Dickies Arena. That's where they got theirs, out in Fort Worth. I can speak for a lot of us, say we don't yet, that they have fake Christmas trees too. Fake had the same one for 3 years. I know one year at Target, Adrian walked in to buy a fake Christmas tree. She walked in, and the price was the wrong one sitting in front of it. And we got a $300 fake Christmas tree for $75, because the person came back and was like, yeah, it's in front of it. Got to give it to her. She did what she was supposed to do.
I our Christmas trees, I either get on Black Friday, which I haven't needed to, or I get them a couple days after Christmas is over for the next year, because they got to get rid of.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
And so you can get $400 fake Christmas trees for $100 or for $50, because they're like, we need to get rid of this inventory. So I feel like either Black Friday, if you need a new tree, which that's already passed, too bad, or you know what? Just grin and bear it with whatever you have the rest of this year. But on December 26th, 27th, 28th, you're going to have major discounts.
Do you like the flocked tree? Do you think that looks cool? Or are you like, no, just the classic green?
I just get classic green. My grandma used to have, are you talking about the one with like the white crap on it?
Yeah, with the snow on it.
Yeah, because it kind of falls. It's tough to store that.
Yeah.
To me, it's tough to store, put it in your attic or garage or whatever, and then to come back and look good for the next 2 to 3 years. I always hoping with fake trees that I get 5 years out of them.
Yeah. See, a lot of people are saying Home Depot and Lowe's. Every year that I've gotten one from there, it either dies fast, or I'm just getting a weird shape.
Oh, the new one.
Yeah. Okay.
The real one.
Yeah, just either it dies fast or the shape is kind of like wonky and it just doesn't look right. Adrienne has very specific things she likes. It looks good though, man. I'm really excited about it. I'm usually a bah humbug guy. I'm usually very like, when it comes to the holidays, but this year, I'm trying to be jolly. All right. So you're going to get more jolly Corey this year, especially when Kevin comes back, so we can goof off a lot more. All right. Coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time for the Tuesday tailgate. OU has a new offensive coordinator. But seriously, there's more important stuff to talk about next on The Fan.
Here's Jennings looking. Thrust, spins out, throws to the end zone. And caught, touchdown. Matthew Hittner, the tight end.
Man, SMU, baby, doing their thing. We will discuss them for sure here in the Tuesday tailgate. I did see somebody on the YouTube said, Tatum Bell's my neighbor. Ask him if he remembers that hit from OU at from Roy Williams at Oklahoma. I'd love to know. I need to send you the picture of that hit, Carter, because I think you'd be a fan of it.
Please do.
It is Carter Freeman joining us right now, as Kevin is still out, so we can't have fun, but we'll try. We'll try to have a little bit of fun as we talk a little college football. We got some options here. Oklahoma has a new coordinator. the conference title matchup and who is a lock for the college football playoff. What do you want to dive into first, Carter?
I mean, we can just really quickly hit OU hiring Ben Arbuckle from Washington State. Washington State, you know, they...
From the wilderness.
From the Palouse.
And where is Arbuckle Wilderness?
North.
In Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma. So it's time to buckle up, is what I've seen OU people on Twitter saying. But
I've been there before.
Look, OU had an absolutely dreadful offense this year under Seth Luttrell. He got fired midway through the season. He ran a dated offense at UNT when he was head coach there, got fired for it, ran a dated offense at OU, got fired for it. So Arbuckle ran a really fun system at Washington State. And Washington State's a team that, you know, easily could have totally fallen off after losing their conference mates, you know, being in a two-team conference, having to scramble to put together a season. But Arbuckle did a really good job there, so hopefully...
I was there when he won the Apple Bowl in Seattle.
Apple Cup. You're Apple halfway Cup. There.
Are you proud of him or disappointed?
I'll give him that. I'll give him, you know, he got the most important name, the
there,
part
they were
of the
cheering
name.
During batting practice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's right across the street from the Mariners-Ranger game.
They played at Lumen Field this year in Seattle. So I think it's a good hire, but again, OU and Brent Venables have given me, as a fan, no faith that they're going to figure it out over two of his first 3 years here.
Venables might just be a good defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And sometimes we find that out too late.
Yeah, and Lincoln Riley might just be a good offensive coordinator.
Enough OU talk.
Enough.
I'm really excited about...
Don't look at my jacket.
I'm excited about Saturday. I'm excited about when they pick these 12 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to talking about these Saturday games, the one you're most interested in and why.
The one... So I think between the SEC and the Big Ten championship games, which is Georgia and Texas, and then Penn State and Oregon, I think those four teams are in no matter what. Then it just gets into the seeding. With the Big 12 championship game here in Arlington, one of those teams is in because they'll be the fifth-ranked conference champion or the fourth-ranked if they jump Boise State. But one of Arizona State and Iowa State will be in. The one that's interesting to me, just from the committee's perspective, the people choosing it, is the ACC championship game. So that is
Clemson and SMU.
Clemson and SMU. Now, did you know SMU is the only Power Four team to go undefeated in conference play this year?
Yes.
Which I think is awesome.
Yes.
I think that's really impressive. No other team did that. Only SMU. Their only loss was to BYU, which out of conference. So
how would you grade the ACC conference compared to SEC, maybe?
I think it's definitely the third.
Third tier?
Okay. Third tier. But regardless of the tier of it, it's not easy to go undefeated in any conference. So
the focus that it takes to do it each week,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
And especially after faltering early, for them to bounce back and go undefeated the rest of the way is awesome. I think that should be rewarded.
If they win, they're the 3 seed?
Most likely, because they'll have a win over a ranked Clemson team in addition to what they've done the rest of the year. And right now, if I'm looking at the AP poll, they're number 8. And I don't think there's any way if Boise State and Arizona State, the two next ranked teams in the other conferences, I don't think there's any way they jump them. So they're for sure, they will for sure get a bye if they win. And I think they'll win. I think they're better than Clemson. I think Clemson's fraudulent. I have thought they're fraudulent since they lost to Georgia by 30 points in the opening game of the year. But
okay,
hey, did Oregon go undefeated in conference?
Oh, you're right. They did.
The Fan Techs.
They went
yelling.
Completely defeated. They're undefeated.
Yeah, they went undefeated the whole season. Oh,
Carter,
so they're the only team that didn't go undefeated
I
the whole year.
I wanted SMU to be it.
That went undefeated in conference. So other than Oregon.
There
so
we go.
Yeah.
So Oregon's just been on such like a, I just, you know, they just keep winning. Mm-hmm. And I just put them outside. There's like no debate with Oregon. I guess the reason I thought that was going with SMU, that's a good point for them to have, say, if they lose to Clemson in the title game.
Yeah, we're one of the only teams that have done that.
And okay. I'll say, I didn't know this during commercial break because I was asking Notre Dame. I was wondering why they kept putting them as a 5 seed when I'm like, they're probably going to be 2 or 3 or 4, but they can't be.
They can't be. So Notre Dame's not in a conference and they like it that way. And because of that, with the deal that all the school, because whenever the 12 team playoff got agreed to, it was the power conferences and Notre Dame were the ones that were agreeing to this. So all the commissioners plus Notre Dame's president, that's how much sway they have, but they're fine with it because they'll be the 5 or the 6. They'll host a home playoff game, probably lose to an SEC team because that's what they do in the playoff, but they're totally happy with that. So yeah, they can't be the 1-4. They will not get a bye, but they will, barring some unforeseen chaos, they will host a game at Notre Dame Stadium.
All right, I went out on a date with my wife the last time UT and Georgia played each other, and the game was on television, and it was just a smearing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a competitive game. What makes you believe or think that Texas is going to be more competitive and win that game and stick into that? What I'm thinking most likely is 2 seed.
Yes, I do. Yeah, because I think Oregon's going to beat Penn State, and I think they'll be the 1 seed. So with their undefeated conference record, my bad. Texas would give me much more confidence just based on both of those two teams' last 2 games, right? Like Texas goes into A&M, which is obviously we saw one of the best environments of the season and just is dominant from start to finish. Doesn't allow a point on offense for A&M.
I really thought they learned something from the Georgia game. And that was the environment's going to be crazy. And I know that was a home environment mm-hmm. for them against Georgia, but I just didn't think they were ready for it. But I also think that the play calling early in the game was much better than it was against Georgia because he didn't panic. And just like, oh my gosh, we got to throw all the time. Mm-hmm. He was like, you know what? We can run the ball against these guys. And I thought that was more effective for them.
And two, the thing in that Georgia game, Texas's first game against Georgia was Georgia didn't play great in that first half. I mean, Carson Beck and the team had like 3 turnovers. And Texas just, every time they did something good on the defensive side of the ball, their offense did something bad. So, but just watching Texas in this last game just impose their will upon A&M, and then watching Georgia take 8 overtimes, the second most ever overtime periods needed in a college football game to beat Georgia Tech when they were down 17-0 at the half. Like, Georgia's had more questionable moments across their season, across their schedule, than Texas has.
Okay. Now I want to ask about kind of your 11-12 seed. Take out the conference champs, because I get that maybe Arizona State might end up being an 11 or 12 seed if they.
So whoever the 5th ranked conference champion is, whether that's the Mountain West champion, Boise State, or UNLV, those are the only 2 ranked. Those are most likely going to be the 5th ranked team, or Arizona State or Iowa State.
Oh, they have to go all the way to 5.
They take 5, but whoever the 5th one is going to be probably the 12 seed.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Who do you have today as kind of the last 2 in? And do you think they will be the last 2 in after the conference championship games are done?
I think that's why I'm so interested in the ACC championship game, because I think it hinges on what happens there. So if SMU wins, I think it'll be SMU's in no matter what. And then it's down to one of the 3 3-loss SEC teams, which is Alabama, it's Ole Miss, and it's South Carolina. If SMU loses and Clemson steals that conference champion spot as a 10-3 team at that point, SMU would join those other teams. And like I said earlier, SMU's been great the entire year. Just based on merit alone, I think they should be one of the best 12 teams in the country in the college football playoff.
They're exciting.
But if they lose in conference championship weekend, is the committee going to get cold feet? And are they going to say, well, Alabama and Ole Miss and South Carolina have had a tougher schedule, they have better wins? That's where I think it starts to get ticky-tack. And we'll throw in 10-2 Miami, who should be playing in the ACC championship game, but they crapped the bed against Syracuse last weekend to honestly probably fall completely out of even college football playoff contention.
Would you get rid of the championship games?
I wouldn't, because I'm a fan of the history of the game, and I've loved that. That's something that you still should want to play for.
Okay.
Do they maybe need to make the conference champions not automatically the 1-4 seed? Sure. Because then you could change it to where, like, if you think the 4 best teams are in the SEC and the Big Ten, you could give them the 4 byes, and then the ACC champ or the Big 12 champ, or in any given year, like whoever you think the 4 best teams are, they should maybe get the bye. But I still think the conference championships are really, really important. It's something teams have played for and have a ton of pride in since the beginning of the game. So I don't want to get rid of them. I just think there's a better way to find to implement them with this 12-team playoff.
I did a bracket on my own. This is mm-hmm. how excited I am about it, this new 12-team situation.
Look at you, Mike. Excitement.
When I was doing it, I almost got to putting Indiana versus like Ohio State or Penn State in the first round together. Mm-hmm. Will, I don't know. I'm not following college football like you are. Have they talked about, hey, let's try to avoid, like they do in college basketball, let's try to avoid SEC versus SEC in the first round?
They said that does not matter for their seeding. That's something that the committee's come out and said, yeah, if we think Tennessee's the 7th best team and Georgia's the 10th best team, they're going to play each other in the first round. That should not matter. Now, they say that when it comes to the actual scheduling of that, I wonder if they're going to stick to that. Just me personally.
Yeah, because I had like at 8 and 9, I kind of had around there like Penn State and Georgia. I'm assuming they both lose on Saturday.
I'm kind of with you.
And I was like, boy, that would be a fun 8-9 game. But then I started looking like right around there is Ohio State, Indiana, Big Ten. And then I'm like, I'm trying not to put Penn State versus one of those two teams. And then with Georgia, I'm trying not to put them versus Tennessee or kind of Alabama. I don't know. I feel like that will be challenging when you're like, well, we saw that game 5 weeks ago. Do we just put that back into the first round, or do we try to have almost like the first round being Big 10 versus SEC in some matchups to try to eliminate some of these teams?
They have said that that's not going to matter, but that, again, I think they could make it to where it is different conferences versus each other. And the other thing that the committee has said that shouldn't impact their view on certain teams is if they win or lose their conference championship game.
Okay.
I don't know if I believe that either, though.
The other thing I was wondering about is, like, in one of my matchups, just farting around here, I had Boise State versus Indiana. That is not a good game. Like, that, I'm not saying it's not a good game, but it doesn't sound like a good game when you're saying round one and you have Tennessee versus Alabama and Penn State versus Georgia and I have Ohio State versus Arizona State. Then I throw in Boise State versus Indiana. I'm just wondering, those two teams, if they get in and they're playing in the first round, that sounds like two non-followed teams around the country.
Not to the level of obviously every other team in there, but this is what we're going to have to get used to when it comes to a 12-team playoff, is you're adding imperfect teams. Like, your level of what you expect of a national champion has to change. And if you win 4 or 5 games over the next, you know, month or so, you're a deserved national champion, but you're going to allow for 3-loss teams to potentially be a part of this. Like, the margin for error is so much bigger. And no offense to Indiana, no offense to Boise State. You're right. They don't have that pedigree. They don't have that. People expect them. People want to go out and watch them.
Or will TV ratings suffer because I put two teams that aren't really followed in the same game?
And I hate that TV has so much to do with it, because, yeah, I think that would be the lowest rated game out of any of this, any of those other matchups. But look, in the first year, that shouldn't matter because it is a new format. I think people will watch. But yeah, that could be something that they take into account, because look, and if Boise State's the 12th seed and Notre Dame's the 5 seed, they're fine. So maybe they do switch it up a little bit to make sure that Indiana's playing at Tennessee or Boise State's playing at Ohio State or Texas. And just on the front of Texas, I think if they lose the SEC championship game, they're going to be no lower than 6th, because their main competition is Notre Dame and Ohio State at that point, I think. And with Ohio State and Texas, you look at, they both played Michigan, who beat them, Texas, who lost to them in a very, very embarrassing game on last Saturday, Ohio State. So I think Texas is 6th or higher.
Can you imagine? I know the semifinal game is here in Arlington. Can you imagine? I know that it probably won't happen. It would have to, if it was Texas versus SMU in Arlington.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you just have to get them all on the right side of the bracket, but that would be an old Southwest Conference matchup right there.
Carter, thank you very much for your efforts today.
Thank you, guys.
From Dillagiraffe 1947, I have to admit, Carter knows his shiz about college football.
Especially the conference records of Oregon.
Yep.
Nice work, man. Nice work. And Kyle Yeoman's...
That's my strong suit right there.
Are you going to go home and really berate yourself like Kevin does when he makes one little mistake that really doesn't matter?
I might just ask Kevin to call me and just chew me out, because that's what he does to you guys. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think effective. I deserve it.
Yeah, you can tell him where to stick the chocolate ice cream.
All right, coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time to chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Next on the Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, and it is time to chit-chat with the fellows from the G-Bag Nation, courtesy of D&M Leasing. Gentlemen, how is ya and where is ya today?
We're at Shell Shack in Mesquite. And we're doing terrific, Majors. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's been a real laser-focused day without Kevin around, getting the best out of Mike. But Mike doesn't have much left in him. I think he's starting to wear down. He needs
good
more
timing.
Yeah, so hopefully Kevin can get
back. We don't know
if he's
going to be back tomorrow.
Yeah, we have no clue. He's just been evidently on the toilet just for 6 days.
It's going around, man.
Yeah.
It really is.
Oh, no, are you struggling too?
Wife's sick now. Yeah, I got sick like a week ago, and then now wifey's sick. I think the baby woke up a little congested this morning. So 'tis the season, my friend.
Best of luck.
Yeah,
man.
A lot of these kids have this thing where they're fine when they're up and around, and then when they lay down, they start coughing like crazy. I don't know what that's all about.
Maybe it's the lungs are just more active. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Mike's wife is, so yeah, we'll figure that out. What is y'all's favorite thing to eat at Shell Shack? Because I've been there a few times, and we just get the big plate of everything.
I just punished 3 pounds of crawfish, so that tells you where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I love the grilled shrimp here, man. It is outstanding. The combination of seasonings and salt and the tenderness of the shrimp, they nail everything they do here. That's why we love it.
Yeah, I even love the chicken wings. Their buffalo sauce is special. And so when you get the gator bites, you can go gator bites with the buffalo sauce on it. That's a home run situation. Better than chicken tenders, Corey. You know that.
Yes, gator bites are great. Well, Chuck?
Gator bites.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything you can get when it comes to the seafood boil, the crabs, the shrimp, the crawfish, usually that's kind of what I'm looking for. But that shrimp you guys got last week, the grilled shrimp.
Out of this world.
It did look really, really delicious. I might have to try that today.
I just don't know what kind of a lunatic would voluntarily eat lizard. You know, that sounds like a bet payoff to me. Because a gator is basically a lizard, right?
Yeah.
Or a dinosaur.
So that's a good point. Reptile.
Possum or lizard? Which one would you eat?
Lizard.
Oh, wow.
Opossum stew is pretty undefeated, Brian. I don't know if you've tried it before.
I have not, but it sounds awful.
Marsupial.
Yeah, it sounds awful. I see that facial expression with the teeth, and I don't think I can do it.
That's like eating armadillo. You ever had some armadillo?
I've hit an armadillo before. Man, that could F your car up pretty bad.
Yeah, and then go ahead and cook it and be some of the best eating you've ever had.
I've never had armadillo before. I've lived in Texas my whole life.
I've had gator. I do like
gator. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Have you ever had rattlesnake?
I have had rattlesnake, yeah.
I don't think I have, no.
Yeah, it's chewy.
Tastes like fried rubber bands.
yes, it is. Yes, it does.
Delightful.
We all enjoy all that food while y'all are out there today. Last time I was at Shell Shack, I was in the Plano one. On my way out, I saw Joe Looney, and I was like, man, we both have huge bags of food as we're walking out because they just threw it in a huge bag, and I was like, this is the way to do it. I got a question for you. We were talking about the Lions earlier and how Dan Campbell's like, screw it, just post everything. It doesn't matter. If they know our code words, you know, whatever, we can't win even if they know our code words, then we shouldn't even be there. I feel like that's a team that lines up and says, we're running it, you can't stop us. The identities of other teams in the NFL, who do you think has something else that they line up, you can't stop them?
The Bills.
Bills. Chargers.
Oh, the tush-push with the Eagles seems pretty undefeated.
Yeah.
Oh, that is something for sure, yeah.
I mean, the Bengals passing game is pretty outstanding right now.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, Burrow and Chase, I mean, that's one that's pretty tough to stop right now. I don't think anybody's having much success with that.
Yeah.
I mean, Saquon Barkley,
mm-hmm,
career year.
Yeah, and that's when it comes to that, it's like the Cowboys a few years ago, it was the Dez game, the Dez Cotic game. You couldn't stop their run game, and they knew they're gonna try and run it down your throat with DeMarco Murray, and the Cowboys were really effective at it. And I miss having that kind of an offense where whether it's the pass game or the run game, you have, as Stink said on y'all's show one day, find out that one thing that you're really good at and just keep doing it over and over, and you always know you can go back to that when you have that opportunity.
Yeah, in 2014 and 2016, they led the league in avoiding third down because they were running so well on first down, and they take the first down on second down and just keep on going.
Playing Canadian football.
Yeah, and I wonder how the Cowboys, you know, look at the task of trying to build an offensive line that great again, because I think it's the most important thing, especially with an aging Dak. You got to give him a Jared Goff type of pocket and a great running game, and then I think you could have the number one offense in the NFL again.
If you gave Drew Lock the five best offensive linemen in the game today, you gave him Brock Bowers, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyreek Hill, but you gave him let's say Zeke as a running back, so he doesn't really have much of a running back, but he does have. Could that dude win a game in the NFL?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you could.
You think you'd be good at it then?
Did you watch Cleveland last night throw the ball 58 times? I know they had a couple pick sixes there. But, man, you can generate some offense. They had damn near 500 yards of offense against one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah, I saw Tim Tebow win a playoff game, so I kind of think if Drew Locke had a top 10 defense, he'd be good to go.
Yeah, Sutton and Nix, somebody just texted in, Sutton and Nix right now are look like an unstoppable combination. Nix is he's lived up to it, man. Has a good coach, somebody who knows how to manage an offense.
That's debatable. That's debatable. That's Sean Payton's a sketchy dude. Trust me.
I was just wondering.
Been with him. Yeah.
Yeah. At Drew Locke's house, do you think they turned off the game on Thanksgiving? They're like, this is supposed to be family time, and this is not making us look good as a family.
Hard to be thankful watching something like that. I think Dad probably had to go into his study and watch it himself.
He called up Drew, his own son's agent, and said, can you get Daniel Jones back here for the rest of the season?
I want to see this embarrassment right now. The
question is, do they have another son that might be better that they have hope in? You know what I'm saying? That like, oh, yeah, we've got him. Yeah,
at least we have you.
We've got our son. We got the younger one. Yeah, you know. The younger one.
They did okay, man. Yeah.
You guys, the Rangers, their documentary is going to be coming out on the 9th. It's the docu-series movie thing that you can watch. You can relive the World Series over and over again if you just buy it for $12.99. Is this a must-buy for Rangers fans?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But I don't understand. If you already have Amazon, like, why do I need to buy this? Right? I'm already paying for Amazon Prime. It should just be streamed on December 9th. I should be able to watch it for free.
Well, Chick, I'll buy yours for you because we missed one of the games because of me.
There you go.
See that, boys?
That'll make
all
up for
worth it.
That is a tonight right there.
Because guess what's going to happen? I'm going to watch that moment. I'm going to think to myself, I know exactly where I was, and it was outside the damn stadium.
Let me tell you what,
with my hands on Ryan's door.
The rest of my life, I'm going to make it up to you. Trust me. I will.
Hey, I love you.
So you didn't even get to hear it on the radio?
I heard
hey, quit acting like if your mom and dad weren't there, you would be right next to me walking in the
parking
lot. I'm sorry.
Apparently, I struck a nerve.
You did.
I was just curious.
You did. You did.
I was just curious,
You absolutely struck a nerve.
Apparently, we're not in the trust tree here.
We're not anymore.
Yeah.
Love it. What do you guys got coming up on the show, Graham, today?
Pure Gold as always, Majors. Yes. Thanks for asking. It's a Stink Tuesday.
Nice.
4:40.
It's a Stink Tuesday.
Looking forward to it. That is always a good listen. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Every time
I can't wait, though, till let's say next year the Cowboys are great at football again, and you have Zach and Brian walking down from the upper deck where they're watching the game from, and they're like, hey, and Broadus is like, let's just watch this drive. And Zach's like, we got
to
get down there.
We have to go.
And then it's the greatest play in Dallas Cowboys history, like early in the fourth quarter.
Mike, I'll feel a ton better about my life.
And they're like, we missed it.
Hey, let me tell you this. I've already told David Hellman at my eulogy, be sure you apologize to Zach one final time. You know, stand up there and say, hey, Brian wants me. And look right at Zach and say, I'm sorry. Brian says he's sorry as I'm laying there dead, you know?
Well, that is fantastic stuff. You guys have fun out at Shell Shack. That is the G-Bag Nation. Roll home with them and go check them out at Shell Shack in Mesquite and have all the great food and have all the fun with those fellas right now. Until tomorrow, we've been the KNC Masterpiece and you have been Masterpiece.
Say, you better be here tomorrow, Kevin.
Better be here tomorrow, Kevin.